Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
The Lord's done great things for them. They couldn't even unsaved people were saying, can you believe this? These people get to go back to their land.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Pastor Herron today turns to the book of Psalms as he shares with us a devotional called Sow the Seed.
I was watching a video the other day. Actually, we went down to the War Museum. The War Memorial Museum. How many of you have been to the War Memorial Museum? They've had it for a long time. Pong Song Hwa in 01, it got all destroyed. And then they've slowly rebuilt it. And they have a video in there. They show this video, and they show all the islands and all the fighting that went on between the United States and Japan. And they fought all through your islands, this island here, Saipan, for 3.5 years. The years that they're here on the island, they interviewed a bunch of different people that were on the island at that time. One of those ladies, Miss Artero Kasperbauer, was a little girl, old enough to remember, and her memory was very keen. Her mom and dad had a farm, and she many, many times remembered her parents going up into the boonies, up into the jungle, and then coming back. They'd take food. They'd come back with no food. A lot of times they were very hungry, and they would take this food. They would never tell her anything about what they were doing, but she knew something was different. Something was going on. One time she remembered carrying this food for her daddy and went up into the jungle. He said, sit here, I'll come back. And he was gone a very long time. She thought that he was leaving her here for the Japanese soldiers to come in and take her. She got very scared. But he came back. One time they made a lemon meringue pie. And she was so excited about this pie. And it was very hard times during those days because the Japanese had taken over Guam. And the Japanese soldiers controlled all of this island. You couldn't do anything without the permission of these Japanese soldiers. So for these years, her parents still had the farm, and she lived there, and they would go up and be gone and come back. One time, this lemon meringue pie was all fixed, ready to go. She thought, it's Christmas time. We are going to get this lemon meringue pie. But she said they put it in a little basket, took it up into the jungle again, and it was gone. And she was so disappointed. She came back, and no pie for Christmas. And then her parents told her that there is a man up in the jungle that they are helping. He doesn't have a mom and a dad. He doesn't have a wife. He doesn't have any children. He's all by himself. And it's the first time that she remembered this soldier, hearing of a soldier that they were trying to take care of and help, because he was an American soldier, and he was a key to helping the Chamorro people be rescued from the captivity of the Japanese soldiers. They were very, very cruel. They would take people and kill people. They'd take people and harm people. They would walk down the streets of Agana, the Chamorro people. If you didn't go by a Japanese soldier and bow, they could do anything they wanted to you. They would abuse the girls and the boys, and very terrible time. They took all the Bible, all the Chamorro Bibles, got rid of all the Chamorro Bibles. A number of different times, people that come by, and if they didn't bow, they'd come and they'd end up whacking his head off. Terrible time. So it all, major, major pressure. She remembered towards the end, what she didn't know was the end, that these soldiers came and said, you have to come with us. And they didn't want to come. Well, another man and her dad were there, and these men came and said, you need to come with us. And the man said, I don't want to come with you. He said, you come with us or we will hurt your family. And so he left, and he never came back. And the next day they came, and she said, I remember saying that they said to my dad, you come with us. I'm not coming with you. We're going to kill your wife and children. You're not going to kill my wife and my children over my dead body. You're not going to touch my wife and kids. What happened to our friend? Got up in his face. And she said, I went over and grabbed a gun and brought it back and gave it to my dad. My dad had a gun in his face. He said, "You don't touch my family. What'd you do with my friend?" And then they got scared. Then they told him, I took him, and they killed him. They said, "You ever come back to my house, I'm going to kill you, and you better not say anything where we go." And they all went out into the jungle, and then the American planes flew over our island right here. They landed, and they rescued them from the captivity of the Japanese, a terrible time. And this lady grew up, got married. Her children heard all these stories, and their grandchild's here at school. She came and told all these stories I just told you and more to one of our classes. It really captured my attention because that video at that war memorial shows some of that. And there was another video that I also watched, this whole story about what she was telling. And she was very clear about all of her memories. And it was very difficult times, 3.5 years of terrible times. She said, "You know, my father was a key man to helping this one soldier named George Tweed that lived up in these jungles. And eventually, the Navy came by, and he swam out. And because of these, many of these Chamorro people that sacrificed to help him, helped him stay alive to get off the island to tell the Navy what was going on and everything about the Japanese that eventually led to the rescue and recovery and the liberation of Guam." Fascinating story. This lady, this 11-year-old, remembers telling about the soldiers would come in and they had a certain amount of eggs that all the chickens would lay, and they had to have a certain amount of eggs, and those soldiers would come by with their guns and count how many eggs. What they didn't know was that many times, because they wanted to give enough food and everything, everybody was poor. People had very little, and that their mom had taken one of the eggs ever so often and would suck all the egg out of the shell and then take that egg and give it to the soldier and then put the empty shell with the rest of the other eggs. So the soldiers came by, they counted the eggs, but they didn't know the eggs were just shells because all the insides of the eggs were out. I said, "Now that's creative." Mrs. Kasterbauer is now a grandma. She still lives here on island. And I told her daughter the other day, I said, "When she comes back on island, I want to visit with her. I want to meet her." Because she really sacrificed a lot. Their family did for really being able to be freed from all of that tyranny and pressure and problems in that captivity. And you know, the sad thing is that particular turmoil and difficulties can be replayed many, many, many times all around the world. Micronesia was not just the only island that went through these, nor Guam, nor the people that were rescued. Many times it happened. It happened over in Europe during World War I, World War II, here in the Pacific War as well, the Korean conflict, many wars previous to that, where people that were under great bondage and pressure, people being tormented and persecuted, and many of them that were killed, and eventually freedom came. What an awesome experience these Chamorro, many of them, remembered when those planes flew over here and people realized it was almost like a dream. Like, is this really happening? These 3.5 years have been hell on earth, and here are these American soldiers coming and picking up the little children. All these pictures are down there. It's awesome. Now, if you can understand that here, you can understand that is exactly what you have recorded in Psalms 126 with another people group called the people of Israel. Look at Psalms 126, because I want to give you an outline that I have given here before. Really, the whole idea of this particular psalm is believing in the harvest. Because Psalms 126 was the seventh of 15 songs of ascents. In other words, every step that the Jew took of the 15 steps going up into the temple, they would sing one of these psalms. And the closer they got to the holy temple, the more joyful it became. And 126 is only 6 verses, and we don't have time to look, but just one of those verses, the very last verse, probably the most popular verse, because it begins this psalm with a scene of nearly delirious joy. What's happening is that scene is from Israel's past when the people were released from their own, not 3.5 year, but 70-year-long Babylonian captivity, or Iraq, had went in to Israel, captured all of these Jews, took them back to Iraq, and they were there for 70 years. They didn't know it was going to be 70 years. They thought it was going to be much longer. But during that particular time, These people finally, by the providence of God, were released. They were told, listen, you don't have to live in Iraq anymore. You can go back to your land. They were so thrilled. Fact is, it says in 126 verse 1, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion or Israel, we were like them that dreamed. We were dreaming like, listen, is this really happening? And then it says in verse 2, it was our mouth filled with laughter, our tongue was singing. They said among the heathen, even the pagans were saying, the Lord's done great things for them. They couldn't, even unsaved people were saying, can you believe this? These people get to go back to their land. And on top of that, the Lord, verse 3, has done great things for us, they were saying. We're glad. We're turning again our captivity like the streams in the south that would fill up every spring. They were so joyful. And here you make the statement in verse 6 when you read, he that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, is going to doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That's a great memory verse. But it is packed with truth because the concept was that out of this particular verse, the Jews continually sang the idea that they really believed in the harvest, that someday that the harvest was going to come, and like them being sheaves, that God was going to end up bringing forth them to freedom. I was reading the reality that this is not dealing with a who or where or when, but it's dealing with a why. Why did God do this? This picture that you end up finding in 126 of someone that is going forth and they're weeping. Why are they weeping? Bearing precious seed. They're scattering this seed and they're crying while they're giving away the seed. Why would that be? And what does the seed represent? In the New Testament, you end up finding that there are three applications of this Old Testament concept, that there were three New Testament truths, and those are the three I want to write down. They're really simple, but I think they'll be helpful for you because really what he was saying is every Christian have three valuable seeds to spend or to spread, that he says that Old Testament concept of someone sowing while their tears are coming, he said there are three seeds. Let me give them to you very simply. Number one, you'll notice the idea that Jesus uses this same Old Testament picture with the idea of the Word. In other words, it's the very message of the gospel. We won't go through this whole parable, Matthew 13, verse 3, when the Bible says he spake many things unto them in parables, and he said, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And what he very simply is saying was, the sower was Christ, we now as Christians. And the seed is the Word of God, in verse 11. And then verse 12 through 15 of Matthew 13, the soil is man's heart. And so he has this Old Testament picture of a person sowing the seed with tears in his eyes, and the sowing of that seed in the New Testament, he uses it three times. One of them is the seed represented the Word. That's exactly what Matthew 13, 11 says. The seed is the Word of God.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Herron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.